comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's the show where you matter. Strange, strange things, folks, are happening. Are you keeping up with this news? Are you staying on top of what is happening around the world? I mentioned, I believe it was yesterday's show, right at the beginning of the show. It may have been day before yesterday, but I mentioned the strange thing about the birds. About 5,000 red-winged blackbirds fell from the sky in Arkansas. Just fell. They're just dead. They just fell. And about 125 miles away in a river in Arkansas, they found about 100,000 drumfish dead. And, you know, there are all kinds of explanations for what may have caused it. I think the most ridiculous one, though, I'm hearing from a couple of different places is, well, maybe fireworks frightened them. Let me tell you something. Only people who have never been hunting could write such a ridiculous story. You go hunting. Let's say you were hunting red-winged blackbirds, which you would not do. They're not a bird that you would kill for food. But let's say you did. You went hunting red-winged blackbird. You see a big flock of 5,000 of them out there, and you shoulder your shotgun. You fire into this flock. Maybe they're eating in a field. You fire into the flock, you might hit one. The others do not fall dead from the fright. They fly from the fright. They don't fall dead from hearing the big boom. They fly away. So that's ridiculous. But let me tell you what's happening. You've got the thing in Arkansas that we already talked about. In Sweden, you had 50 to 100 birds that just fell out of the sky dead. In Louisiana, about 300 miles away from that event of the 5,000 birds falling from the sky in Arkansas, about 300 miles away in Louisiana, down near Baton Rouge, thousands of birds just fell dead from the sky. Within the past 24 hours, it has begun to be reported out of New Zealand, hundreds of dead snapper washing ashore, and they don't know why. I also saw a report that in Chesapeake Bay, there are as many as 2 million dead fish. Something is up. Something's going on, and certainly the fireworks did not affect the fish in Arkansas, did not affect the fish in Chesapeake Bay or in New Zealand. Something is going on. I don't know what it is, but it would appear to be fairly serious. I don't know if it's man-made or something natural happening, but whatever it is big. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
My guest this evening has been with us before, and you're well familiar with Mr. Aaron McCollum. But for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, and maybe you're new to this whole genre of information, Aaron McCollum is a person who, he's one of several who have begun to speak out about having been sort of inducted or abducted into a program when they were children that trained them up to be super soldiers. And there are several who have begun speaking out about this. Aaron is one of those people, and he has appeared on radio shows. He's hosted his own radio show. He's written articles, and articles have been written about him. Aaron, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me. Always great to be on your show, and always seems like this is always a great platform to cover a lot of information, and definitely one of my favorite shows to be on, not just because I consider you a friend, but you always have really great questions to throw at me, and sometimes actually throw me a curveball or two, which keeps me good and sharp.
Well, I may have a curveball or two tonight. We'll see. But I thank you for the kind words about the show. Aaron, there is something that I want to talk with you about tonight, and it has to do with a conference you were invited to. But before we get to that, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show where I was talking about in Arkansas, 5,000 birds just fell out of the sky dead, 100,000 fish in the river dead, and now we're getting these reports. In Sweden, about 100 birds fell out of the sky in Sweden, dead. This is all since last weekend. Louisiana.
And as well as Louisiana, Kentucky, parts of Canada, and now areas of South America.
I had not heard about those, but New Zealand is reporting dead snapper washing ashore, and as many as 2 million fish dead in Chesapeake Bay. What do you think is up with this?
You know, I've been looking at this pretty extensively in the past couple of days, and, you know, as you know, Kevin, rumors seem to come out of the woodworks immediately on the internet about this stuff, and I try to filter through it. And there are, right now, some people claim that it is indeed phosgene gas that the United States, government imported into the United States after finding loads of it as, quote, weapons of mass destruction over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now they're using it as for experimentation within chemtrails here. Another one that I just heard recently today, in fact, was that it was mustard gas, that this is all being confirmed. I'm not saying it's being confirmed. Others are saying it's being confirmed. Another theory is that this is a result of hydrofracking. And another theory is that it is Corexit that's being sprayed in the Gulf that has wound up in the atmosphere and now it's raining down. All of these theories have one single common problem. How in the heck would any of these only target one or two or just a couple of species? Mustard gas, phosgene gas, Corexit. They're not prejudiced.
Yeah.
They'll target any living organism.
Yeah, they are equal opportunity killers.
Yes, they are. Now, there is something, the general term, and let's just call this a speculation for a moment, Kevin. There's been a lot of experimentation that's been done at a number of facilities operated and overseen by the government of what is known as ethnic bombs, dirty bombs, where a certain biological cocktail has been constructed, if you could say, to target a certain genetic outline. So let's just flat out say it. If they wanted to launch one of these bombs that actually exposed in the atmosphere, and they wanted to just target, let's say, people of Spanish descent or people of African descent or whatever. this is something they've worked on for quite some time. And I've heard of accounts of these actually being used in certain conflicts. I don't have any confirmation on that. So I wouldn't, right now, I'm leaning towards without any information, I would speculate that if this is indeed an operation that is not by any accident, that is being implemented or orchestrated by the government, we have to consider that because only a certain types of species in certain areas are coming up dead, and one is this red-breasted or red-winged blackbird, which there are millions and millions of species not in danger at all, so seems like a good beta test or a catalyst for something like of this nature. Now, that is just pure speculation because, frankly, I haven't done anywhere near enough digging to get anything else out of this. But I don't know what you think, Kevin. I'd be curious to hear what your ideas are on this.
Well, what you're talking about, all of us are familiar with the term bio-warfare or biological warfare, but what you're talking about would be genetic warfare.
Yes.
That is awesome. And if it is a reality, it's a reality that surely should not exist.
I agree. And
wow.
Of course, I just need to remind the listeners that I'm just speculating here because I myself don't have any definitive proof. And I can only wish that people on the internet would be more careful with what they're claiming or outright saying. And of course, that one, I can't remember his name right now, but the guy they found in the dump over on the East Coast who was with the Bush administration. Now, they're saying that there were ties with him to this as well, that he was going to basically, that he went to the Pentagon and said, tell the American people that you're doing biological weapon experimentation or I'm going to blow the whistle, and that they killed him because of that. Now his wife is missing. Well, I just wish that people would do a little bit more digging before they just outright say, well, this is what it is because I have proof. Well, show me the proof. I haven't seen any proof of the mustard gas, the phosgene gas, or any of that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the rumor that you just told us about that this guy went to the Pentagon and told them either come clean or I'm going to blow the whistle. Is that confirmed? Yeah, has that actually been confirmed that's what happened?
No. It absolutely hasn't, Kevin. All that has been confirmed is what I read on the police report. His last known whereabouts is that he was on a train heading to D.C. where he was working. And he lived in, I don't remember where he lived at, and I don't have all the facts in front of me, but his last known whereabouts were on a train.
Okay, so you're saying that story about him sort of giving an ultimatum to the Pentagon, that story is not confirmed, is that right?
As far as I know, that is not confirmed. What is confirmed is that at his house, there was, they suspect, at least this is what's being speculated, or has been officially released by the police department, that there were certain chairs that the police were focusing on. Apparently there was police tape around. This is eyewitness accounts, and I read it on many websites that have never given bad information. So It simply appears right now that he did make it off the train. He returned home, and something happened between the point that he got home and then when his body was found in the garbage. And so what it could be was some kind of home invasion, but, I mean, this is a high-end guy, and what it sounds to me just from reading this police report, this article with part of the police report in it that they allowed to be released, sounds like he was, frankly, I mean, it sounds, just reading it without looking into it, that he was tied to a chair for a little while before something else occurred.
Hmm.
But you know as well as I do, Kevin, that what is shown on the surface is usually 1% of the story in cases like this.
Well, yeah, and even that is bent.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Certainly these are very important things that all of us need to keep our eyes and ears open about. Something is going on, folks. Something big.
Yes. And I just encourage people to not jump to any conclusions without all the facts being presented as best as possible. This is something that could take, we could pop the cork on this within weeks, or it could take months, or it could just be one of those things that winds up in the world of conspiracies for years. I don't know. I'm hoping with my network of, my intelligence network that I've kind of labeled it, my global intel network of all kinds of various people, that hopefully I'll be able to come up with something a little bit more conclusive soon, but I'm not going to give a date or any guarantees because I can only do with what I have.
Sure.
With the tools that I have.
All right. Now, let's talk about this conference, and let me sort of set this up for folks.
Okay.
I read an article, and many of you have read this article as well, that reports on Aaron McCollum's statements that he made in an interview on the radio recently. And these comments being reported on had to do with him being invited to speak at a conference. That's not a strange thing for him to be invited to speak at a conference, because Aaron McCollum is hot news right now. And, you know, everyone knows the name Aaron McCollum. So that would not be strange. But there was strangeness attached to this invitation. And, Aaron, I want you to jump into that and share that with us. But let me say this. Okay. Don't say anything that would get you in legal trouble, you know, in terms of somebody suing you, but tell us what you can about this situation.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Kevin. And one, it would be amusing for someone involved with this conference to sue me, because the question is, what are they going to sue me for? You know, I'll tell you what, I'll write them an IOU on a sticky note and they can just count on that. That would be okay. The best they would get out of me. And that's not an unrealistic statement. But I did write the statement, and I delivered the information as concise, as accurate. I wrote the article and the statement. Actually, Alfred Weber did the article. I wrote the statement in such a way to where I feel that no one directly from the conference can say that it is, that I'm, you know, talking ill of it or any of that. But that shouldn't matter anyways, because I'm pretty sure that we still have the First Amendment, at least what's left of it in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, without going off on a tangent about that, here's what happened. There's a person, and out of respect to this person, because I'm still not sure if they're fully aware of what they're involved with, because they're kind of a little bit lower on the totem pole as far as this conference goes. Through the old show that I was doing, Universal Truth Evolution, when I was still the host of the show, this person, excuse me, had started listening on the show, and this person himself has a show on Blog Talk as well. And I guess that they had become a regular listener of the Universal Truth Evolution show. Then on, I believe, around December 8th, if I am correct. Yes, it was December 8th. I received an email from this gentleman. And it was interesting because the email was, a good chunk of the email was an email that was forwarded to me, and then they put a direct message to me from it. And it was a correspondence email between this person, who was a member of the planning committee for the Festival of Enlightenment, and he had been corresponding with one of the co-organizers, the head organizers of the entire festival, Bill Moore. I'll go ahead and say his name because it's, I've already written it in the article, in the statement, so it doesn't really matter anymore. Bill Moore and his wife, partner, whatever, are the two organizers. They're the brains behind the entire thing, at least from everything that I've seen. And basically, this person outright said that they put my name in to be a participant, to be a speaker slash participant of this festival. Now, initially, I just kind of briefly looked through the website. Something really didn't seem right, but I kind of just put that on the back burner because this was during a time when I was really busy with a bunch of other stuff, and so I emailed them back and I said, you know, let's talk on the phone about this. This person then called me, and I tell you, Kevin, I wish I would have had the proper equipment to record this phone call, because I would have, which would help, you know, back up what I've been telling everybody. The conversation started off pretty light, and as it progressed, I'm on the other end of the line with my jaw practically on the floor going, holy crap. So I'll try to be brief because there's a lot to explain. I'm sure you've got other questions and other things you want me to explain. So here's the long story short. I was selected to help a group within the entire group of organizers and all the people that have the big hands to play in this thing to first start doing some webinars, some online webinars with certain young adults and children. I would be used as some kind of transmitter or whatever you want to call it to help raise the vibration of the frequency of these said children. And then, and I'm kind of just giving you little bullet points of the conversation, because we talked for about 45 minutes, I would say, maybe close to an hour. Anyway.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just hold it at that point, because we have a break coming up. And what we'll do is we'll come back to this on the other side of the break. We'll just pick up right there.
You got it.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from this break, you're going to hear some pretty bizarre requests that were made of Aaron. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Aaron McCollum. Aaron, when we stepped away for break, you were just about to tell us about this strange conversation you had where you were being invited to be a participant and a guest speaker at this conference called the Festival of Enlightenment.
Yeah. Okay, so there was one part I forgot to mention that happened early in the conversation, which for me raised some red flags immediately. The person who I was speaking with directly on the phone, who again is an active member of the planning committee for this festival, told me that the organizers were trying not to, they weren't wanting the festival to be too much on the metaphysical side, which is odd because for those out there that look at the website, the whole thing seems to be nothing but kind of a metaphysical type of enlightenment theme.
Mm-hmm.
So what he told me was that there was a group within the planning committee that was going to orchestrate this plan, that had put this plan together, and then were seeking me out to be a key role, key player in this. So, like I said before the commercial break, the first steps were they were wanting me to host some webinars, some online video webinars with whatever children and young adults that they had selected or were going to recruit or however. And he specifically used the term starseed a lot. Starseed children, starseed young adults. And that I would be the facilitator to raise their frequency, raise their vibrations, basically gearing them up. And I asked why. What I was told is that during the some point in the festival, during a climax of the festival, whenever that may be, that I would, that myself and all of these star seeds, in, I don't know if it was some kind of ceremony or we would do some kind of formation or whatever their intentions were, we would, I guess you could say, create like an antenna or something, and it would somehow activate to allow the Pleiadian starships that they said would already be hovering overhead would uncloak their ships, and that this would be the beginning of some kind of ascension slash human race rescue operation, if you will. And there was a few other things. Kind of
okay, well, look, I got a question about that.
Sure.
How do they? How could they know that the Palladian, Pleiadian starships are going to be hovering above the festival? And how could they know that at that point in the festival, when you're having this ceremony or whatever with these children, how could they know that at that moment they're going to uncloak unless they were in somehow in control of causing the uncloaking?
And see, right there is a very good question, and I honestly, I didn't ask that at the time because I was already taken aback by what they were asking me to do and the role that they were wanting me to play, and especially after that, it was only a matter of a couple of hours after that phone conversation that I had returned home because I was out and about, and I looked at the website in detail this time. I kind of considered myself a roughneck. You know, I'm a bit rough around the edges, and, you know, even my appearance kind of shows that. And to see all these, pardon if I offend anybody that may be part of the festival listening, but these hoity-toity elitist-type emotional or motivational speakers that looked like that they would be at some kind of enlightenment country club drinking martinis, and I would be in the corner drinking a beer and having a cigarette. You know, I mean, I do not fit. And, of course, you and I, Kevin, talked about that because I had asked you the same question I've asked everybody else. Why, of so many people, would I be asked to do this? And if this is going to be such a major festival, they've left out a lot of key players. They've left out a lot of people that I consider to be very important within this field of whistleblowing or truth or whatever you want to call it. You know, why didn't they contact Dr. John Waterman? Why didn't they contact Bob Dean? Why haven't they contacted, I don't know, Dave Corso, Miriam Delicato, and a bunch of other names, 30 other names I could mention? It just is puzzling. And then once, so then I kind of stepped back and I got into my military mindset. And I started looking at things as I would as an operative. I kind of took the role of, if I was still on the job that I was doing before, and I saw something like this come across my desk, how would I, as a member of the government, use this as an opportunity to create something that would gain further control or to completely discredit this movement of truth seekers and ones that want to be enlightened? And this is why I stated in my statement that the elite, they've been infiltrating movements like this for a very long time. But the last time I feel, and unless there's an incident that's happened between that I'm not aware of, when we have the civil rights movement happening in the 60s, which in itself was a truth-seeking movement, you know, the FBI created COINTELPRO, Agent Provocateurs, which had a massive blow in the civil rights movement. Now here we are, 2011, and we're looking at something that has people that have direct ties with companies like Halliburton, Shell Oil, Prudential, Nestle, which has been working very hard and successfully privatizing water here in the country around the world. If I could go on and on. People that are speaking at this event who are active, who have outspoken, been outspoken about eugenics and are members of the Club of Rome, and it goes on and on and on.
Okay, so what do you suspect? What do you think that this is simply a disinformation kind of operation, or perception management, or is it a false flag operation that where they plan to unveil these starships, which would probably be holograms? Or what do you think's up here?
Well, you know, I don't want to compare it, but when I was really doing my research into this, I kind of went back to what happened September 11th of 2001, where this attack happened upon the World Trade Center, Building 7, Pentagon, and then immediately, all of a sudden, here comes this Patriot Act. TSA really kicks in high gear. FEMA starts to all do all this stuff, and the Department of Homeland Security is born, sort of born. And with false flag type operations, there's always an ulterior motive later on by the government. With this event specifically, I see, the research I've done, I see layers. It's never as simple as one up, one motive. If you can squeeze that lemon for all it's worth, you're going to squeeze that lemon good and tight, and you're going to get as much lemonade out of it as possible. So why not squeeze this thing tight? So first of all, yes, absolutely a disinformation event, because if a Project Bluebeam type of incident occurs, whether it is a privatized thing through some kind of holographic technology that was purchased by the very heavy hitters that are involved with this, or if it's an outside influence by the military to take advantage of this because it has a strategic location where it's at, not to mention one of the organizers is a member of the Chamber of Commerce of the town that it's being held in. That must have been very easy for them to get this going. But then also, a major blow to people who are going to attend, who genuinely are looking for something. They're predicting over 50,000 people. Look, it's no news that we're getting to a point where people are becoming desperate. They're becoming desperate for something greater than themselves to happen. People are looking at 2012 to be either a way out cataclysmically or through ascension. The economy is failing. The police state is growing. The food supply is being poisoned. People are looking for something. And then the largest festival in the history of modern civilization, and that it's going to be a salvation. And there are a lot of people involved in this festival that do heavy research in NLP. NLP is, for me, very dangerous territory. It's nothing more than another version of mind control. So, disinformation, just a complete slap in the face to the what?
Well, someone is playing with your audio. You're cutting out. Well, folks, I can't say I'm surprised. Can you? He's still online. We haven't lost him. But someone has turned his audio off on his telephone. He's not getting through to us. Okay, so let's try this. Let's see if we can get him back here. Aaron, your audio just went away. Let's see. Here we go. Aaron, are you with us?
Yeah, sorry. It looks like right when I went into my tangent, we got cut off. So
yeah.
I think everyone's pretty much got the point. So of what I'm trying to say.
All right, let me ask a couple of questions. Now, you've named this Festival of Enlightenment. When is it going to take place?
It's taking place June 13th to June 19th. And there's some interesting things about this time as well. Because I just recently found out of another festival. I don't have the name in front of me. But there's a festival that happens in Chicago every year. And I looked at their website, and it's very interesting because there are people that are speaking and involved in this other festival that are involved in the Festival of Enlightenment. And this festival happening in Chicago is a high price ticket, and it's basically the same theme, and it's happening from June 10th to June 13th. So it fairly overlaps with the Festival of Enlightenment. And it's dealing with a lot of the same things. So, and I had one person contact me, who I know, who said, I attended this other festival in 2010. They said it was the biggest waste of money. It was nothing but a line of BS. And the whole thing just seemed wrong. So that's just a side note.
What location? Where is the Festival of Enlightenment to take place?
Okay, the Festival of Enlightenment is a town that I'd never heard of until this whole thing happened, called Evergreen. It's in a town called Evergreen, which is in Colorado.
All right, we're going to step away for a break here. And when we come back, I've got a couple of questions about what we've already talked about, and then we'll move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the other side of this break, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Aaron McCollum. Aaron, you said that this is going to take place in Evergreen, Colorado. Is there anything peculiar or special about Evergreen, Colorado? Are you with us, Aaron? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time since we've had this kind of thing happen. All right, let me check. Aaron, are you with us? Okay, he is not. It's been a while since we've had something like that happen. Stand by. Okay, we're getting his voicemail now. Okay, well, that's interesting. Let's attempt to bring Aaron back online, and let's see if he's here. Aaron, are you there? He is not. And what's interesting, let me explain to you what's happening here, folks. I tried to call him, and I get his voicemail, okay? He tries to call me. You can hear it ringing. And I push the button to answer, and he's got no audio. So let's try it again. Aaron, are you with us?
Hi, Kevin.
Okay, he's back with us.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I do. You do too.
Well, yeah. Rhetorical question.
Oh.
Interesting, because you and I have had these kind of difficulties in past shows I've done, but this one seems to be kicked in high gear.
Well, and look, these guys are morons. First, you know, they're freedom haters. They're enemies of the Constitution. But they're really morons, because the very thing they're trying to keep you from saying, by doing what they do, puts big yellow highlighter all over it. And everybody now pays attention. So whatever spooks are responsible for this, thank you. Okay, now...
Did I ever tell you, and maybe we can talk about this later, I just want to say this real quick. Did I ever tell you about the time when I was giving Jordan Maxwell a call and the phone was tapped and I could hear those who tapped the phone on the other line chatting?
No, you didn't, but I've had that happen on air. I've caught them. I've recorded them.
I can tell you that another time because it's actually kind of amusing.
Yeah. Well, again, look, you know, to the morons, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for driving my ratings up. Okay, you mentioned Evergreen, Colorado. Is there anything particularly special about Evergreen, Colorado?
You know, as far as the town, it's a small town, small population, tucked away in the, you'd say, the foothills of the Rockies. When you just look at it right off the bat on Google Map or look at the website, it just looks like a regular old Americana kind of town.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, with me, I looked at it from an operative side, which changes my perspective quite a bit.
Okay, so what did you see?
So what I saw was a small town with a low population that only has three roads in. One road from the north, one road from the south, and one, I believe, from the east. Little two-lane roads. So right off there, just saying, from an operative side, very easy to triangle to close off if need be. Now, let's expand out a little bit. 62 or 63 miles north of Evergreen, Colorado, is Fort Collins. 66 miles south is Colorado Springs. And about 23 miles to the northeast is Denver, Colorado. Three places with three very secretive underground installations, and two with above-ground major military installations as well. If I'm going to take the opportunity of something, take advantage of the moment, and even not, when I was in the military and we were going after a target, we always triangulated that target. You always want to triangulate, and that's done for many reasons. And I'm sure you know, Kevin, in law enforcement, even when you're standing around your perpetrator or whatever, you kind of triangulate so you're offset from your partner, so that if you have to wind up firing, you're not in the direct line of fire.
That's correct.
Something that's taught in law enforcement. So it kind of applies the same with this, and it's very much triangulated. So in a military mindset, this is a place of momentous, monumental opportunity to take advantage of, is what I see.
Okay.
And on top of it, it's a very small town. They're predicting over 50,000 people. I've looked at the layout of the town. I'm just wondering where they're going to put them all. One, just out of my own curiosity, but it does lay the groundwork for this kind of opportunity for the military, the shadow government, to infiltrate and step in at some level.
All right. Why have you decided to go public with this?
You know, the main reason why I decided to go public is one, because I'm the public eye as far as with this kind of, in this world, I now have a responsibility. Just as you have a responsibility, Kevin, you and I are two people of many that have a responsibility to deliver information such as this, to just kind of put the information on the table and allow people to dissect it for themselves. I'm not telling anyone that they have to believe me. I'm simply presenting the information as accurately and as best and as clear as possible so that that gives everyone the opportunity to look at it. Now, the fact that that children are involved, and they have a lot of these smiling children all over the website, concerns me because of such things as what the darker side of Child Protective Services is involved with, such groups as like Common Purpose over in the UK are involved with recruitment. Get them while they're young. Get the seeds young so you can develop them how you want. I see this has the opportunity of some major mind control going on. So this concerns me.
Let me make clear. Let's pause for a moment. Let me make clear. Are you saying for sure that you know that this is this conference is going to be used for a mind control operation, or are you saying it could be? It looks like it is ripe for it.
I'm saying that the potential is there. It's definitely there. I am in no way saying, because I haven't spoken with the organizers, so I am in no way saying that this was their master plan. However, because they have so many people involved, and if anybody took the time to really look into all the keynote speakers that they're featuring on the website, and you look into what studies they do and what research they do, and when you have people that are involved speaking at this conference that they promote basically this: just sit around in the lotus position, meditating, wishing love and light, and all will be well. Don't take an active role. Just sit back and ride the wave. And another thing that is on the website, they have a list of things that they consider an evil and dangerous problem in this country around the world. And one of the things they label, and this is very important, is that between 2009 and 2010, I'd have to look at it, but it was either 14 million Americans or 14 million guns have been purchased. Basically, the increase of gun ownership rose by 14 million. Now, they consider that a problem. Actually, I have it right here. Americans purchased over 14 million guns in 2009, a 10% increase over 2008. Okay, so I have the dates wrong. Why is this a problem and a challenge that they are promoting? I see nothing wrong as long as intention is good for people to have the rights to bear arms. And it's already been statistically proven that there are a lot of law-abiding good citizens are buying guns because whether they listen to radio shows like this or not, they feel that something's wrong. So again, Kevin, there are many, many ways to this.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back, and we're still endeavoring to keep Aaron on the telephone with us. Aaron, let me move on to this question. Did you make any attempt to clarify with these folks your concerns, to voice your concerns about what they were asking you to do, and to clarify with them these points that we've talked about? Have you made any attempt to do that?
I certainly did. I immediately, I spent all night after that phone call looking at this website, not just looking at the website, but branching off, looking at everything and anything, anyone having to do with it. And after that, and if you're just a side note, Kevin, if you're curious to see all the stuff that I've collected on this, I can email it to you later on for you to look through. But I have a copy of the email, and I darkened out the gentleman's name and contact information to respect his privacy. But I wrote a reply, a two-page reply, breaking down things very specifically and not in a rude manner. I was very polite and just very, just throwing out the bullet points of my concerns with this conference, and even ending it saying, I'm still more than happy to have a conversation with the organizers if they want to explain themselves, and let's have an open dialogue. I got nothing back. Then after about 2 weeks, I finally got something back from this individual member of the plan committee, who simply replied, I'm sorry I haven't gone back with you, and said that he had some personal issues to deal with, and I said, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but when you have time, let's discuss these things. Nothing. I've got nothing back.
Okay, now, since you've gone public, have they responded in any way since you've gone public?
No. Yes, they did when I went public about this on a show on Blog Talk. It was that very night this person finally emailed me back after I sent them this two-page response. That's when they said that they were having some personal issues. I said that I was sorry to hear that, I wished them well, and that I really wanted them to address what I had said. And it's been now another, 2 weeks, and I've heard nothing from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to be a guest on this person's Blog Talk show next month on the 6th.
Do you think that it's in any way possible that you have misunderstood what they were trying, what this person was trying to say to you on the telephone? Is there any possibility you misunderstood what you were being asked to do?
Absolutely not. Without a shadow of a doubt, I was told to do webinars with people focusing on young adults and children, and that I myself would participate with these children and these young adults to cause some kind of activation that would basically be the go-to light for the Palladian starships to decloak over the festival and make themselves present. Because it wasn't during this 45-minute phone call conversation. It was mentioned multiple times.
All right.
I had something to record it, but literally I was out and about away from my where I live when this person called me, so I had to handle it as best as I could and just, you know, try to remember everything verbatim as best as I could.
All right, let me welcome those of you who have joined us in this second hour. My sympathies to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. We're talking with Aaron McCollum, and we would like to offer our audience the opportunity to participate in this discussion. And we do that by opening the telephone lines. So, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. That number will work anywhere on this planet. 623-444-5889. toll-free in the USA and Canada. The telephone number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, what you can do is use our Flash message option. And you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get there, just scroll down. You will see the picture about tonight's show, and you'll see a link on the right side that says Flash Message, and you can send me your comments or questions that way. But you must be outside of the USA or outside of Canada. If you live in the USA or Canada, we have telephones for you, and I'll even pay for the call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Aaron, I agree with you. Evergreen, Colorado is way too small for 50,000 people. I live in a relatively small town. We're probably four or five times larger than Evergreen. And there's no way we could handle 50,000 people all at once. So if anyone from Evergreen is listening, I would protest this meeting or whatever it is, seminar, because the cleanup, it's going to inundate your community for however long it's there, and the cleanup is going to be a mess.
Well, now wait, in fairness now, Brent, I understand what you're saying, and in principle, I don't disagree with it, but in fairness, we don't know what provisions have been made by the organizers of this Festival of Enlightenment, and they may have already contracted and taken care of all of that, so we don't know.
Well, Kevin, can I comment on this?
Sure.
And this was something I wanted to talk about, and I'll wait till after because it has the potential of being much larger than 50,000 people, and there's a reason for that, which I'll explain here in a moment. But the thing is that one of the head co-organizers, and I saw it on the Chamber of Commerce website for Evergreen, Colorado. He's a member of the Chamber of Commerce. So he's already an active participant in what goes and what doesn't go in Evergreen. And, yes, I think that, and I'm curious because when you look at the layout of Evergreen, I'm just wondering what they're going to do. And, you know, they talk about having these big tents, and they're even talking about having sections, like little camp areas and stuff. But there's just so much to this that we need to look at that could pose a problem beyond just the things that I've said.
Well, you know, if you were... If you lived locally there and you were organizing opposition to having this event, then I think all of these would be concerns that you would want to take up. You'd want to get them in front of the city council and have them debated and have them voted on and that sort of thing. But, you know, if the city council has decided that it's okay to have this festival, and if you know, the organizers have satisfied the city fathers there, then you know, it's that's theirs to do. The thing that concerns me,
it's already going to happen. It's already set. All systems go. This thing is happening.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and then if it turns into a nightmare for cleanup and a nightmare for lodging and things like that, if that happens, then the city fathers who approved it will have to answer to their constituents over that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if it's all been approved and everything, then and it's a go, then really the only thing that anyone outside that area would have any real say about would be, you know, concerns over the content of what's going to go on there. Brent, are you still with us? No, he is gone. All right, 623-444-5889. is the number to call.
Kevin, could I just throw in a couple things real quick, unless you have another caller on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say this real quick. One, a couple of points that I brought out in my statement and I brought out to this person when I sent them my reply was, one, the fact that Bono, the lead singer of U2, they're working very hard to get to speak there, and this is a guy that has been, it's no secret that he's rubbed elbows with elitists, and even his own, and I'm not going to say too much about this because it's for everyone to look at, but let me just say that his own charity organization has been under scrutiny multiple times before. The other person is Sir Richard Branson, the CEO of Virgin. I want to know what this guy has done to contribute stuff for the environment or the metaphysical movement or whatever. Now, just real quickly, and this is what I'm about to tell you is directly off of the organizer's document that is for recruiting sponsorship for this event. This is directly off of a document that is off of the website.
All right.
And it states that on January 11th of 2011, so next week, they are launching their media campaign that will create over 32 billion media impressions that can engage at least 100 million people over the six-month period leading up to the festival. As the next evolution of Sir Bob Geldof, which they're working on being a speaker, Bob Geldof's Live 8, we could exceed his 2 billion person reach over the course of your sponsorship year's exposure. Now, and then it says, you go on a little bit further, I'm not going to read all the dry material, but it goes...
Okay, let me just say to the caller, just hang on, we'll get to you in just a moment. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to say real quick that it says, our team has relationships with all the major networks, CNN, Associated Press, CBS, Fox, NBC, and it actually goes beyond that. They are going to make this thing viral across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So when they initially say they're predicting 50,000 plus and launching a major media campaign next week, I think we're going to see a lot more than that squeezed into this little place.
Well, it could be, but, you know, like I said, if it turns out to be a nightmare for the locals, then the city fathers who have approved it will have to answer to them. You know, and that's just that's the way those things go. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. First question I have, just two, is you must think the Palladians are not our friends, then.
No, I never stated that. I've never stated that the Palladians are not our friends. I'm simply saying, and Kevin presented it very well, one, this person gave me any reason to believe, how would they know that, one, the Palladian chips are going to be there, and two, that at the right time, engaging the right kind of energy that they're going to cause to uncloak. It's with what is known as Project Bluebeam, there are three different things that can take place with it. One is a two-parter, that either a fake alien invasion is created using holographic technology and very high advanced U.S. Military craft of either a malevolent race coming in to invade and then the government's going to come and save us, or a benevolent race is going to come down and be our saving grace. And then the other half of that is to create some kind of second coming of Christ. So I never said that the Palladians are bad. I'm simply saying that they're using them to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't I phrased the question wrong. It actually was a question,
okay,
whether you did trust him or not. I'm sorry for phrasing it that way. But my other question then would be, then if what you, I know you're not saying it's going to happen, but if something happens like you're thinking, aren't the people at the conference possibly in danger of, gosh, I don't know, they could, if a ship appears, they could be annihilated, whatever, you know, something bad could happen to them.
I'm very concerned for a multitude of reasons, and my biggest concern is that this is going to cause such a blow and discouragement that people are going to go there with very high expectations. There are quotes on the website, people saying, basically saying I'd liquidate my assets to attend this thing. And I am concerned that this is going to create such false hope as one of the things that could happen as a side effect that's going to cause a major blow to people who are, have genuine good intentions and that want to be part of something greater. So I have multiple concerns with this. It's unfortunately not a black and white this side or that side type of issue. Because there's so many different directions, and it's such a large event. And when you look at the entire puzzle and look at all the pieces, it's a giant spider web that can lead in many different directions. There's a lot of different possibilities.
Right. Huh. So
we have to be careful in how we approach this.
Would you recommend someone or not go then?
Me, personally? I would recommend people to save having to spend $777 for an event that's 7 days and seven nights. Interesting how they use a numerology. And use that money to, I don't know, buy a couple of extra cans of food or whatever. Use that money for something a little bit more wise, because with things happening in the economy right now, one of the things I do and I'm working on with a few groups is survival and food storage and stuff like that. I'm encouraging people not to go outright. I think that they could better use their time in something else. Quick example, and I'm not pitching it. I'm just stating something as a fact. In April, I'm attending a conference with people that I know and people that Kevin Smith knows, and the conference we're attending is 3 days, and the ticket price is $20 a person, and that $20 is to cover the cost of travel and renting the place that we're at. So these things can be done legitimately at a very low cost for people to be given the opportunity. Kind of it's not really given the opportunity for just anybody to be able to go. I mean, that's a high ticket price. So, again, there's just so many different reasons why I'm against it. And, yeah, I encourage people to not go. I do.
All right, Rusty, thank you for the call. Do you have any concern when you make a statement like that and you're out here, when you're on this show, you're definitely public, and you make a statement like that, do you have any concerns that the organizers of this conference may decide to litigate?
Well, like I said, if they decide to litigate, then what the hell happened to freedom of speech? You know, I haven't, at no point have I said that so-and-so or so-and-so I have not made any direct slanderous claims. I have simply said that as a whole this raises concern. I've simply said that there are key players of this event that have direct ties in history with some very evil corporations, and that there are people in this that have never offered anything. I'm not trying to make a. That's another thing with this. This seems to be a huge. They are marketing. They have become entrepreneurs, and they're doing the next greatest thing, the next best thing. Look at this giant truth movement. Look how many people are waking up. We can make money off of this. I have simply stated the facts, and I have tried to do so in a way to where if they came after me, what are they going to come at me with? And on top of it, there's nothing I have that they would want or could even take.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Aaron. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi.
Hi. I was just making a comment here. You know, with everything going on right now, with all these bird deaths and kind of crazy times they're going into, if they have that kind of a marketing where they're going to be using that sort of media to put out the message about this conference, let's reflect that Woodstock, the town organizers over there were told that they would have no more than 50,000. They ended up with 500,000. But the other thing, too, is that regarding this, you know, trying to activate a uncloak a ship, it might be just, I don't know, just a weird sort of marketing hype thing, like a trick, you know, like a, you know, bring in the tourists, you know, sort of thing. I don't know. I wouldn't take it too seriously myself.
Well, it's not that I wouldn't take it too seriously. I wouldn't have taken it so seriously if the way things happened, if they had happened differently, then this might be a different story. But this person was dead serious. I was talking to on the phone, and after, and besides this uncloaking of Palladian ships, that's only one bit that has drawn my concern with this festival as a whole. Again, if you look at everything from front to back and everything in the middle, there are many reasons that any reasonable person would look at and say, wait a minute, something seems wrong here. And I've had quite a few people come to me who were kind of on the fence, but after they did their own digging, they came back and said, something just seems wrong here. So there's just so much more to it, which I explain in the article that was published in the Examiner about this festival.
Well, good luck on it, whatever happens. I'm sure that whatever, you know, when you get that many people thinking about the same thing all at the same time in that sort of a local area, maybe they will manifest something, but I don't know. I'm not sure where to go on it, but they're obviously using some sort of biblical reference to, you know, $777 referring to 666. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, $777 for what did you say, seven days?
And 7 nights.
And 7 nights. Okay, that numerologically reduces to 8, which is supposed to be a very lucky number. So you have 5 sevens or 35, then you add the 3 and the 5 together, you get 8. And so that's supposed to be a very lucky number. Could be purely coincidental that they chose that, but hey, you never know. Stefan, thank you for the call. Very interesting insight. And folks, we're going to step away now for a break. And when we come back from this break, we will continue talking with Aaron McCollum, and we will continue taking your calls. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Aaron McCollum. Aaron, did you make it through that break? Are you still with us?
I did. Finally, actually made it through one, Kevin.
Yep. All right. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing well. Go ahead, sir.
Aaron, I was wondering, as you listen to all this, you know, and your, you know, concerns with it, but what is your worst scenario, but, you know, your worst fear behind this?
Oh, boy. Well, let me just say this. I'll answer that, but I want to say this real quick. If the time comes, this festival happens, and nothing bad occurs, and then everyone comes back and goes, well, Aaron, you said this and that, I'm more than happy to eat my words, because I don't want anything bad. I don't wish any ill will on any of these people that are attending this or could attend this. I'm more than happy to be wrong about it, but let's just go worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenario is this. A Project Bluebeam type of event occurs, causes tremendous false hope. The possibility of someone or group of attendants calling the BS, which could invoke some kind of huge domestic disturbance, which then could cause the big dogs to be called in, or this to be used as some way to round up these people, because it has been happening slowly, kind of under the umbrella that people within the truth movement, involved with alternative media, this enlightenment movement, are starting to be labeled as domestic terrorists.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, if you have a thermos, you need to get rid of it. It has been now identified by Homeland Security as a possible instrument of terrorism.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, Aaron, I know Kevin's been mentioning, you know, a lawsuit. Probably the only way these promoters could probably justify any lawsuit is if their ticket sales were hurt and nobody would show up. You know, and they could prove that what you said was the cause of it. Other than that, you know, I don't think there's really going to be a whole lot of ground for them to stand on. But there's going to be a lot of people watching this, you know, and even though a lot of people may get fooled or whatever happens, there's going to be a lot of skeptics out there, you know, telling these people to, you know, you might want to take a second look at what you think or don't think what happened at that time. And that's pretty much all I have.
All right, Terry, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Well, look, you know, even if they, let's just say, look, conferences have not been doing well. No type of conference has been doing well the past few years. So let's say they do this thing and they don't sell as many tickets as they hope to sell. Let's say instead of 50,000, they have 50 people show up. Okay. Then they might try to make the case that you damaged their ticket sales. However, stating an opinion and not making accusations, just stating a personal opinion, I don't think is actionable. I'm pretty sure that lawsuit, even though they could file it, I'm pretty sure it could not prevail.
No, because I've been saying that this is just all based on what I've encountered through direct contact, indirect contact, and then my opinion based on my research and some shared research just from looking at the website and digging into it really deep. The truth is, more than likely, this thing is going to be a huge dog and pony show. The two head organizers have a combined 80 years experience of marketing, business management, and furthermore, and it is this all in plain sight that anyone can look at on the website. They're heavy hitters, and they have even heavier hitters supporting them, and that are that they're in their pockets or they're in each other's pockets. So, and you know, they may just consider me some crazy conspiracy nut, which is probably what they would label me as, and just move on, because with the numbers, that they have as far as prediction of how many hits they're going to have across the website and a major Here's what we need to watch. I'm curious to see how big this media campaign goes starting January 11th. So everybody keep an eye out on January 11th. Let's see what happens on CNN, NBC, Fox. If you start seeing stuff about the Festival of Enlightenment on mainstream government-controlled media, then we really need to be concerned.
I'll tell you something even bigger that's going to be happening on January the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
On January the 11th, the new WPAZ 1370 AM in Pennsylvania is going to start carrying the Kevin Smith Show. And that means people in Philadelphia, Allentown, Reading, Pottstown, Wilmington will be able to listen to the Kevin Smith Show live on their radios right there in their own area.
Great.
So that's, and see, that's
congratulations, Kevin.
Well, thank you. That's so huge, and yet mainstream media is not out there promoting it, you know?
Yeah, right?
I'm shocked, actually shocked.
Wow.
Aaron, folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. And we'd love to hear from you. That works anywhere on the planet. Also, the flash message option is open if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. Now, Aaron, we'll continue talking about this festival along the way, but I want to sort of get back to this weird thing that's happening with the birds and with the fish. Don't you think it's a little bit suspicious that it's happening right here before the festival?
It's very suspicious, and what is interesting is a person that is of who I've spoken to and even had him on my own show, and he is labeled as very controversial, but he has given me information that absolutely I've been able to verify. He resides in Florida, I'll just simply say that, for his own protection. But he put out some very interesting information of a statement concerning some activity that has been based around Denver of some kind of new LRAD weaponry based at a facility in the area of Denver where they've been testing it on chickens and has caused massive internal damage killing these chickens, and it is an untraceable, obviously it's LRAD, so, but to an extent it's untraceable. I haven't looked into it because I just got this email literally just an hour before the show, so I need to look into that.
Okay, well, I want to be careful and make sure that everyone understands. I am not asserting or insinuating that there's a connection. I just find it highly suspicious, highly curious, maybe totally coincidental.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the telephone.
I'm not.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I was just going to say, I'm in no way saying that there's a link either to these fish and these birds dying and the festival, in no way, but it just...
But the timing, you got to admit, the timing is suspicious.
The timing is suspicious, yeah.
Yeah. It is. All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Clay from Arkansas.
Hello, Clay.
First of all, you know, the birds, they land at the same time in the same area, and they eat the same food, and then they fly, and one takes a swan dive, and they can all take a swan dive at the same time. I mean, it's not impossible. And, I'm 51 years old, and when I was 10 and so forth, I seen thousands of frog eggs, and I mean, all my life I've seen frog eggs in lakes and streams, and now you don't hardly see any. I think some of this is the environment. We're poisoning ourselves. Like plants and different things. That's my my take on it.
So, well, Clay, I think what you say, of course, is plausible, except for the fact that you had 5,000 birds of one species that, as you say, took the swan dive and fell from the sky dead. 125 miles away, 100,000 drum fish, not fish, but drum fish, just that breed of fish turn up dead. Down in New Zealand, you've got snapper washing up on shore dead, a large number of them. So, for instance, in the Chesapeake Bay, it's being reported about 2 million fish are dead, and I don't know what type. But so far, every time there's one of these die-offs, and they're happening all around the world, apparently, it's one species that dies off. It's not all the fish in the river, just the drum fish. What would you think about that? Ah, he's gone. What do you think about it, Aaron?
Well, and I just saw also actual news footage from, I don't know what country, but in South America, of these black birds that had fallen from the sky there dead in great numbers. There were, initially, I was tossing around the idea that this could be a result of hydrofracking, which is the process of drilling very deep in limestone granite in the ground and then pumping in water that's mixed with the caustic chemicals to help bring up natural petroleum gas that the oil industry is doing all over the country, and it's decimating water supplies everywhere. But again, like we'd said earlier, all these theories, it's phosgene gas, no, it's mustard gas, no, it's Corexit, no, it's this. Like you had said, these chemicals like that are not prejudiced. If phosgene gas or mustard gas got into the water supply in a river, every single fish in there is going to float up and die. If it's a concentrated cloud of gas in one area, every bird is going to fall down. And not just that, what about the ground animals?
Mm-hmm.
When at least some show up sick or dead, something is specifically targeting these specific species. And what that is, I have no idea, but I am definitely concerned about it.
So you you said that you had seen information that, let's see, I said Arkansas, Sweden, Louisiana, New Zealand, and Chesapeake Bay. You added Kentucky, Canada, and South America.
Yes.
And this is all since last weekend.
And these aren't little reports on little independent websites.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me just check real quick here and see, Aaron, did you make it through the break?
I did, Kevin, and during the break I received an email from a friend of mine, and I had to confirm it, and I've just seen something quite amusing on the Festival of Enlightenment website. It is a Aaron McCollum disclaimer. They have posted on the front page of the Festival of Enlightenment a statement denying anything to that this person had no dealings with the conference, even though I have an email, a correspondence email between the head organizer and this person, and basically saying at the end of this, it's a little bit long, but at the end saying, although this gentleman has verbally attacked the festival and its participants, we act in forgiveness and thank him for the additional attention he has brought to the festival and for substantially increasing our website traffic and ticketing inquiries.
Well, and yeah, you had to know that was going to happen, especially when you come on this show and there are millions of people listening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's going to increase their traffic. People are curious. They want to check it out. And, you know, I have to say, you know, from the standpoint of this show, we are not targeting this festival. And what we're doing is listening to your thoughts and opinions about the festival. It's going to generate some traffic for them. And let me say to the organizers of the festival, as you spend all these millions of dollars on your media campaign, pray about the idea of kicking some dollars this way. We helped you out a lot. Aaron, do you know of any weapon systems other than this LRAD that could specifically target a specific species in a specific region and cause the death of that species in that region?
There's a type of weapon that has been in development and used in certain campaigns by the United States military that you could label as a dirty bomb. It's not a nuclear weapon. It's better known through its nickname as an ethnic bomb. And this is a weapon that is a biological chemical weapon that is projected through a missile of some type and that actually explodes or ignites in the atmosphere, the low atmosphere above a certain region. Then the chemical, which has been precisely created to target a certain genetic background. So basically what this is a chemical. So it's a chemical warfare that could target someone that has perhaps African genetics or Spanish genetics or Anglo-Saxon or Chinese or whatever. It's known as an ethnic bomb, and they very much do exist and have been used before, and it's something that is real. It's a danger. It's a concern. I would be more inclined to say that that's something that would be used on the people of this country rather than a nuclear weapon. If I was going to be asked to speak about that off the cuff.
What about people like me that are mixed?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not a scientist or a biochemist engineer of any of that matter, but as much as I do know with the research and talking with some people that have been in that field, you know, there are diseases out there that target certain ethnic backgrounds.
Well, that's true.
Diseases, cancers.
That's true. It may be a surprise to people, but just about every ethnic group has something that is kind of a genetic disorder or disease that seems to target that ethnic group. My wife is Thai, and they have something called Thysemia. And in some ways, it is similar to sickle cell anemia. It's not the same thing, but you have to be Thai in order for it to hit you. And it's a genetic thing, not actually a disease. So, yeah, we know those things occur in nature, and what you're saying is that the scientists have figured out a way to manufacture a way to trigger that sort of thing.
Yes, the same way that this swine flu was manufactured, the same way that AIDS was manufactured, and what country was to blame? Africa. and that it was specifically targeted in certain communities in this country of people with alternative preferences or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new. To create a biological weapon to target a certain group of people is nothing new to this government or other governments around the world.
Well, I'm glad you threw that in, because people do need to know that while it may seem to everyone a heinous thing that the U.S. government would have weapons like that, it is also true that every other major government has them. And, it's a crazy, crazy world where anyone, anywhere, in any position could justify somehow in their minds that this is a good thing and we need to do it. But we do live in such a world. Aaron, you've heard now from the website of this conference. You've read that they appreciate the boost to their sales and they appreciate the boost to their web traffic that you've caused. Does that concern you in any way?
No, not at all, because I am simply exercising my First Amendment right. And that's all there is to it. I am simply stating my opinion. And, of course, they've taken what I've said and they've twisted into their little love and light, everything is candy canes and lollipop attitude, and that's fine, because just as I have the right to express my opinion, so do they. And that's what makes this a great planet, is that everyone has the right to speak their opinion. I don't have to agree with it. They don't have to agree with me. Hey, Kevin, you don't have to agree with everything I say and vice versa, but we respect the opportunity and the freedom for us to express how we feel.
Well, Aaron, I want to thank you for being with us, and if you will, stay on the line with me for a moment. It is interesting, after I thanked those morons for assisting me with my ratings, they quit interfering with the telephones. Curious thing. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed this show, and, as always, it's controversial. Information is controversial, and it's up to you to take what you hear and check it out, compare it, go through it, find out whether you think it's the truth or whether it's not the truth. As you've seen, we've had some great shows already this week. We've got more great shows lined up for the rest of the week. Be sure you tell all your friends, your family, and even your enemies about the Kevin Smith Show. Encourage everybody to drop in, because as Aaron has just said, we don't always have to agree. That's not the purpose here. The purpose is to get the information out there, and let's all think about it. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.